Oy, well, good morning. I need a little bit more light. Went to read my Bible and couldn't see it. Hope you're well. Hope you're staying warm. Hope you're staying out of trouble. Hope you've had a good new year. Hope things are just good. So we're waking up with Jesus this morning. We're in Luke chapter 9. And we're looking at, in my estimation, we're looking at Jesus' introduction to what the church would be, right? Got 5,000 men, probably another 10,000 to 15,000 wives and children. He has them gathered around. Then he breaks them into groups of 50. It's a lot of 50s, by the way. And then he does his thing, right? Thanks his Father, breaks the bread, distributes it through his disciples, the shepherds in training, to teach us all what it should look like. So I love that beautiful foreshadowing. I love the fact that he's, whether the disciples realize or not, it seems as that he was introducing the whole concept of church and what it would look like and how he would shepherd his people. We go on. Now we're going to start in verse 10. So we're Luke 9, starting at verse 10. We're going to dig a little deeper into this particular story. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they'd seen. Verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him. The crowds learned about where they were, and he welcomed them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 said to him, "Send the people away so that they go to the surrounding villages and the countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place." Jesus replied, "You give them something to eat." And so they answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for this whole crowd." About 5,000 men were present, says Luke. But he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, and taking the 5 loaves and the fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them, and then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over." The distribution of the kingdom of heaven is the great privilege of those of us who have received the bread. And the opportunity for us to minister with one another and to one another and to share with each other is an incredible privilege. It's a privilege of care. And so I love the fact that what we see here is Jesus recognizing the body as a whole. So we go all the way back to Exodus, right? In Exodus, Moses is seated trying to govern everyone. Turn to Exodus 18 with me for a minute. All the way back near the beginning of the Bible, right? So we're going to start at verse 1. And we're going to see a pattern here. So this is after Moses had gone to Egypt and had been sent to Egypt and escorted the Israelites out by the millions. And now they've been on their excursion. And Moses is working hard to govern the people. Chapter 18, verse 1 says this. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything that God had done for Moses and for his people, Israel, and how the Lord had brought them out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife, Zipporah, his father-in-law, Jethro, received her and her 2 sons. One son was named Gershom for Moses. "I have become an alien in a foreign land. And the other, named Eliezer, the father, my father's God, was my helper, and he saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. So he names his sons after his experiences. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, are coming to see you with your wife and your two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down, and he kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships that they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Now, I love this little testimony, because it's not a little testimony. It is the story of God's moving, the story of what God was doing in Israel and through Moses, the miraculous power, the leading, his personal presence. This is a testimony. And I love Jethro's response. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done. Now, so let's go back again to Luke, let's go to Luke for a second. What was happening among the people? They had heard, they followed. They had heard about Jesus, they followed, they found him, he spoke to them, shared the kingdom of heaven, healing, then broke them up into these smaller groups where the disciples began to minister to them with regard to feeding them, but also getting a glimpse of what would come. Testimony after testimony. Luke's entire gospel is a testimony. It's a testimony to a Gentile ruler who Luke was sharing God's goodness with. Jethro was delighted. This is verse 9 now. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of the Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the land, or from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods. Now I know that the Lord is greater than what? All other gods. What gods? The gods that God demolished in front of Pharaoh. Look what it says now. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses and his father-in-law in the presence of God." And so here again, we have this celebration, we have this meal, we have this gathering, we have this testimony. We have those who have now heard the testimony and see now that there is a God, and he's greater than all other gods. We see this earlier in Exodus. We see it again in Jonah. What happened? Jonah's on the ship. He goes to sleep. Storm rages. They all turn to their little g gods. Then they ask Jonah, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm a Hebrew and I worship the God who made the sea, who made the earth." And what happens? They all end up hearing about this God and now offering sacrifices to him. Ninevites hear. This is the testimony. This is what God does. He is good. He is good to us. And our privilege is to speak of his goodness. If we go on, and I love the fact that they're breaking bread. Breaking bread. Breaking bread. Jesus is the bread of life. His body was broken to distribute among the masses, to whoever would receive it. It was demonstrated in Luke 9 when he feeds the 15 to 20,000 folks. We see it all the way back here in Exodus, as Moses gathers up his family and brings in the elders, and they begin to, they share the testimony, and they break bread together. In the midst of all of this, Jethro is overwhelmed by the goodness of God and sees that this God is greater than all other gods. This is our privilege. This is the message. Now look what happens next. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone sit alone to judge, while all the people stand around you from morning to evening? Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. There it is. It is not good for man to be alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and show them the way to live and the duties that they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And then have them serve as judges for the people, shepherds for the people, at all times, but have them bring the most difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make sure your load is lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will be satisfied. There's a pattern. Goes all the way back to Exodus. And Jesus is demonstrating the pattern. And he's revealing to us his care for us. For all of us, for every one of us, and for each of us. And he has designated some to govern justly, graciously, modestly, and carefully. We have one-on-one relationships where we sharpen one another and hold each other accountable. We have smaller group gatherings where we can get to know one another and begin to share burden, to share responsibility, to share accountability, to share resources. Then we have churches, gatherings where we come together and shepherd the people and care for them and teach them, correct them, handle disputes, so that no one has to carry the full burden. This is wisdom. And Jesus is repeating the pattern that we see right here in Exodus 18 and how desperately he wants to shepherd his people well, to govern them well, to love them well, and to remind them you can't do this by yourself. You're not to do this alone. You're to do this with one another. I love the pattern. I love that Jesus repeats himself. I love the fact that he scoops us up as a whole and then breaks us up into little pieces to distribute us around the world that we may be the expression of his grace. As we eat the bread of life, we offer the bread of life, and we resemble the bread of life. And this is why the local body is so important. And this is why we need one another in fellowship. And this is why God has gathered us into these places with various gifts and resources and talents, and that we might bless one another, edify one another, build one another up, keep one another safe. And Jesus was showing this to the disciples at the very beginning of his ministry to say, I've not changed. Here's my goal. Here's my mission. Here's what I've come to do. To all who would have me, they will be saved. Every one of them. And each one by name I know. And I place some in a body, in a place that they would be cared for. That they could care for others. Where they can carry each other's burdens and walk next to each other as they carry their load. To teach one another, admonish one another, to encourage one another, strengthen one another, serve one another, care for one another. It's called the body of Christ. The body universal around the world, and each individual body called the local church. And then within the church, the relationships that he draws us into, because we all need friends, brothers and sisters. I love the fact that Jesus just beautifully unveils himself, unveils his way. It's the same thing he was doing to Israel when they came out of Egypt. If you read through those first five books of the Bible, it's God revealing himself in this new and profound way. as he unveils himself to the people, as he expunges all the things that they had maybe learned or been immersed in Egypt, removing all the little g gods and demolishing the idols, and now showing himself sovereign and powerful, and even revealing creation through Genesis, and in the same way he demolished the idols of Egypt. And he spoke, and there it was. And there was the sun that was worshipped by others. No, I've created it. I'm sovereign over it. I have power over it. And goes right down creation to show the Israelites, no, I am God, I am creator, I am sovereign, and these things are beautiful, but they're not to be worshipped. They're to be certainly enjoyed and delighted in. They're yours, as I have given them to you, but I control them, and I'm sovereign over them, because I am God, and they are not. And I've made you in my image, and I love you. Not like those little g gods who held you by your toes and dangled you over peril. No. No, no. I will come to you, and I will shepherd you, and I will give you shepherds to shepherd with me, and you will shepherd one another. It's an absolutely beautiful display of God's revelation of himself, his mercy, his love, his care, and his provision. So, today, may we trust in our Heavenly Father. May we eat of the bread. May we distribute it in a way that everyone goes home satisfied. They've heard the good news, the testimony of God's goodness. And they see that he is a God above all gods, sovereign in all things. As we just express his goodness to us in the person of Christ Jesus. Let's be grateful today.